Well, let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1. As you find your place there, I ask you stand out of respect for the word of God if you're able. We're going to read beginning in verse number 26. Luke, chapter 1, verse number 26. We'll read just a few verses. Pause for prayer, and then we'll look at what the Lord has to say today. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast on her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Father, we thank you for relating this account to us. Father, it reads as a story, and yet we know this is history, simply recorded for us, that we might know the truths of your gift to us, that first Christmas gift of your Son. And Father, that you would let us know how it all transpired. We're so grateful for this, that we might place our faith in the eternal Son of God who came to this earth in order to die for the sins of all man. Now, as we look at this same old story we've heard so many times, Lord, just may your Holy Spirit move in our hearts, make it alive to us this day, Lord, that we might worship you and glorify you for what you've done on our behalf, and may our hearts respond in joy and rejoicing as a result. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. I mentioned probably last week that oftentimes the most difficult messages for a pastor to prepare are the special days, Christmas being one of those. This history that is so familiar to us, to try to find something each and every time. You know, we don't always have to do that because the story, I don't think, at least in my life, ever grows old. I'm so glad at what God did, this demonstration of his love for me, his desire to have fellowship with me. I mean, think about that. I know who I am. You only see my Sunday best. My poor wife has to see my sick, I guess you can't use the word best. I told her the other day, I'm so glad I'm not you having to put up with me. I'm glad I'm only me having to put up with me being sick. So anyway, that's just the truth. But God knows me even better than she does, and he put up with a whole lot worse than my poor wife has ever had to put up with. And yet still, 2,000 years ago, what did he do? He sent an angel to talk to a young lady by the name of Mary and said, guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you and the Son of God is going to move into your womb and be born and live. What a wonderful message. I hope that never gets old because there is no hope of heaven outside of that. I feel bad for those that are caught up in other religions and they're so sincere and the things that they do and the things that they believe. I think of the Muslims and the mess they're making in our world. But you know, they're only acting on what they believe. We're told that it's only the radical Muslims that are terrorists. No, it's only the ones who really believe what they have been taught that are terrorists. The ones that aren't terrorists are the ones that are wishy-washy and backslidden. That's the thing we don't understand, the things we're never told, but they're sincere, but they're wrong until they figure out who Jesus Christ is. And they'll spend an eternity with their God in hell forever unless we can get them the good news. And the Holy Spirit of God will work in their heart. But as we come back to this account where Gabriel dispatched to Mary in the city of Galilee named Nazareth, now, this is a dangerous thing for me to do, but I'm going to try to enter into her mind for just a little bit. Dangerous for any man to try to enter into the mind of a woman. You husbands know exactly, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. We're going to get ourselves in a whole heap full of mess, aren't we? If we try, but I'm going to try to do that this morning because I want to see where she's at. Because there's a point I want to make before we finish this morning that I hope will help you today. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1 in a little while. You don't have to turn there now. We're going to be in Luke for a little bit. But the same thing is repeated there that we see here. We see when Mary is introduced that she's espoused to a man named Joseph. It tells us that in verse number 27. Over in Matthew, when we're introduced to Joseph, this man to whom Mary's espoused, the same thing is stated, that he's espoused to Mary. God knows this. He didn't have a senior moment and say, oops, I guess I should have sent the angel a little bit earlier. No. He waited till this moment. Now, he had his reasons. We may not understand that. And I don't believe Mary and Joseph understood everything going on. And I need to, or at least I want to try to communicate that they did not understand God's timing. They didn't necessarily understand God's purposes. He's explaining things to them. And in their mind, they're probably thinking, you know, there could have been a better way. The timing might have been a little bit different than what it is. But she's espoused. And the angel shows up and says, guess what? You're going to have a baby. Well, there's a second complication that Mary is facing here. The first is that she's already espoused. The second is in verse number 34. Let's read a few verses leading up to that, beginning in verse number 30. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, I want to stop there just a minute. The angel says, fear not. What was she afraid of? She wasn't married. But let's back up a verse. The angel appeared. And I find this kind of interesting. In verse 29, when she saw him, when she saw Gabriel, and she had heard what he said, it says she was troubled at his saying. Most of the time when you find angels show up, people are a little bit afraid of what they're seeing. They're realizing, I see an angel. Remember when Jesus was in the tomb after he had been crucified and was dead, and the Pharisees encouraged the Roman authorities to send a Roman guard, and they're waiting outside, and an angel shows up. What do those strong, rugged soldiers do? They wilt. They faint. They don't know what happens because they pass out. But she's not concerned about what she's saying. She's concerned about what she's hearing. What she's hearing is that she's highly favored among women. And in her mind, she's thinking, you know, I'm from a small village in a poor area, espoused to a carpenter who isn't exactly at the top of the pay scale. I don't see my life all that picturesque. I don't see that house in the suburbs with a white picket fence, the three little kids and the dog running around in the yard. I was going to say a cat in the house, but let's not say that. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and they mentioned another friend that is the cat woman, and told me this woman's been having a lot of respiratory issues. I just wanted to say, well, tell her to get rid of all her cats, but I'll do that personally. Her and I had the cat-dog issue the whole time I was in Ohio. It was a lot of fun, so we'll continue that. But anyway, Mary had her dream. Every young girl's dream growing up and getting married and what the beautiful family is and the perfect setting and husband. And as she's considering what her future holds, she's wondering, is this really all that God has to offer? I wonder if that's what's going through her mind. But the angel assures her, fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. What an amazing statement. I don't think we can grasp in our culture the significance of what Gabriel just told Mary. And he shall reign and over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I think Mary's beginning to understand, I'm not going to have any ordinary son. I think she began to understand that this son that I'm going to have will be the Messiah, the long-promised Messiah. And now she's beginning to understand how favored she is with God, because every Jewish young woman's dream was to be able to bear the Messiah. She didn't understand the circumstances that would be involved. No woman would, to bear the Messiah. She never thought that this would happen before wedlock. It would be a terrible thing in that culture. I wish it was still in our culture, but it's not. And that's unfortunate. And then verse 34, the complication. The first was she wasn't married. Second complication, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She's saying this is an impossibility. Says, I'm old enough to know better. This just doesn't happen. When we're serving God and trying to live for Him, you know, there's things that we face in our lives that we just don't see any way that it can happen. It's easy to get unrattled or to get rattled, to get unglued, and to kind of lose our nerve a little bit, maybe have our faith shaken somewhat. The angel doesn't get upset, does he? Essentially, what he's going to say is, look, God's got this. That's not going to be a problem. Don't you worry about anything. You just stay walking with the Lord. Because it says in the next verse, the angel answered and said unto her, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Talks about Elizabeth, and then in verse number 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Gabriel says, don't worry about it. Here's exactly how it's going to happen. My experience is that God doesn't usually explain himself. He just says, look, here's what I need you to do. Here's where I need you to go. Here's what I'm asking of you. Here's the commitment I'm asking that you will make of your own free will to do for me in your life. He doesn't always explain why. He doesn't always give you the follow the dots way to arrive at that final destination. He just says go. But he always assures you that with God, nothing shall be impossible. And sometimes he asks you to do something that you just don't think you're capable of doing. Maybe it's just reading through the Bible in a year. I've heard people tell me that there's just no way they could ever do that. But they find out they can't. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And so we see her response or her commitment in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What we see in Mary is yieldedness. I don't believe she fully understood. I don't think she could possibly grasp all that God was saying to her. But she said, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. And that's the point I'm just simply trying to make today. Just simply that we need to be yielded vessels. On that first Christmas day, God gave the very best gift that he could give. That gift of his son, who would pay the penalty for your sin and give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your savior and have a home in heaven forever. He gave the very best he had. He didn't send Michael the archangel. He didn't send Gabriel. He didn't send any angel whatsoever. He sent his son. The very best he had. This Christmas, why don't we think about giving God the very best we have, which is ourselves, fully yielded to him. Well, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 1. That's Mary. Mary was given some amazing news that day that historically occurs before what we have written for us in Matthew. As we pick up Matthew chapter 1, we'll start in verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise: when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, there we have it, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, don't pass by those words too quickly. Mary didn't go about the village proclaiming, hey, I'm going to have the Son of God, I'm pregnant. She didn't go about publicizing it. In fact, if we would have read further in Luke, we would have found that she ran off to her cousin's house in the hill country. But when she came back, it became obvious she's now pregnant, and the neighbors, or maybe the family, or maybe it was Joseph's family. Think about that, the embarrassment. She was found with child. And the news comes back to Joseph. Imagine how devastated he must have been. This young woman that he was espoused to, who had pledged to him her faithfulness. Now, we usually say that to be espoused is much like an engagement in our culture, and yet it was much more binding. There was only one way out of an espousal, and that was through a divorce. The Bible's very clear on what their culture was like. Well, there is a second way out, and that's what Joseph had to consider. It says in the next verse, then Joseph, her husband being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, we begin to understand what's going through Joseph's mind and heart right now. He has two options. He can write a bill of divorcement. The bill of divorcement would state that I am breaking, officially, legally breaking the espousal due to the unfaithfulness of my bride-to-be. That's one way he could have gone. The other way is the Old Testament solution to adultery. And it was considered adultery if you were a spouse to be unfaithful. And that was to have her stoned. And to have the man stoned as well, both of them. And he's thinking this over. He's saying probably the right thing to do if I'm obedient to God, and he's certainly a righteous man, or God would have never placed the Messiah into his home and under his care. He's saying, I want to be faithful to God first. But boy, my heart is so endeared to this young woman, Mary, my espoused bride. I don't know if I can sentence her to death, even in spite of her unfaithfulness. He's struggling with this. He's not certain what way he wants to go. He knows what's right, but he also knows what's been accepted in his society, in his culture. And he's thinking, well, maybe that's what I need to do. And that's the decision he comes on. We see his affection for Mary. But before he could get to that point, here comes the angel of the Lord in verse number 20. We just read it a moment ago, telling Joseph to fear not. Same thing he had told Mary, fear not. He says that's not Mary being unfaithful. That's the hand of God working in your lives. Verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I wonder how Joseph felt about that. I think we pretty much can figure it out from what happened next. We all know. But Joseph's getting ready to write that bill of divorcement to go to the court system and take care of it. But the angel intervenes, sent from God above, saying, Joseph, you're going to raise the Messiah. Joseph's response is recorded in verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Through all of his pain, through all of his hurt, through all of the questioning in his mind of what to do and what was right, he overcame it all as he yielded to the word of God given to him through the angel. And so we see in Joseph the very thing that we saw in Mary, a yielded vessel. An individual who is willing to say, God, I will do whatever you ask me to do, Even if I don't understand how it'll be accomplished, even if I don't understand the results that will occur, even if I don't understand the things that'll happen as a result of me doing this, I'll just simply obey. You see, on that first Christmas day, I believe Joseph understood God was giving the very best that he had to give his son. And I believe Joseph, like Mary in response, decided to give God the very best that they had themselves, fully yielded to an almighty, loving God. How about you this Christmas? What is God asking of you? What is he tapping on your heart's door about? Is it salvation? Have you that settled yet? If not, respond and simply accept a God who loved you enough to send his son to die for you, that you might have life with him. Is he asking some commitment from you? He gave his best. What have you offered him? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us these accounts in the lives of these two young people who were yielded to you. Father, certainly if they could do it, we can do it too. They faced much greater obstacles to follow through on your plan for their life than we would ever face in our lives. It doesn't mean the obstacles aren't great in our lives, that the difficulties aren't real, that the struggles are insignificant that we face. But Father, we remember your words through the angel to Mary, that with you nothing shall be impossible. And so, Father, help us through faith this morning to just simply yield our all unto thee at the old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I present myself a gift unto thee this Christmas day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.